Let's go to Joel 2:23. If I pick up where we were Sunday. Joel. You know Joel? If you can't find him, just go to Matthew and work your way backwards. That's how it works. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And then when you get to Amos, he'll be the next one coming from the back way. Joel 2:23. Praise God. Now, there's a real presence of the Lord here. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. God is good. Thank you, Lord. Be glad then, you children of Zion. Joel 2:23. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. So I will restore to you the years of the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. Yeah, we know who, never mind, praise the Lord. My great army, which I have sent among you. Now don't, that's the big L-O-R-D. That's seed time and harvest. That's not our personal. Okay. So you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God who dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Say all flesh.
All.
Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. So it said, it shall come to pass afterwards. That's what it said. So this is talking about latter days. Talking about latter days. After Messiah, in other words. Remember, this is Joel talking. So after Messiah comes, after the day of Pentecost, we start getting into latter days. Now, we're in the latter of the latter days. We're way on down the line. And so God poured out a spirit on the day of Pentecost. And then from there, we've been working in the latter days. But now we're in this little sliver of time at the end of time. And that's what God is working with us on. So there are former days and there are latter days and there are two rains, R-A-I-N-S, and they happen in the autumn and they happen in the spring. A lot of commentaries, if you read about that, will say, yeah, this is saying that it will rain in each of their seasons. But I believe that there's something grander to see right here. Because we are in the latter of the latter days, and we are over 2,000 years since Peter preached. You know, we read Joel, but then Peter preached this. You're aware of that. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and he repeats that what the prophet Joel had said, and then says some other things. And so what it said there, it said the former and the latter rain in the first month. Well, the first month is Nisan. Nisan is March, April. And Nisan is the Jewish calendar. So March, April would be the time to have former and latter rains. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Okay, so it's a good time. Now, Genesis 1:14, don't look at it. I'll just read it to you because you know it. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and for years. Season right here is a Hebrew word called moed, okay? Moed. Le moedim would be how you would say it plural. Everything in Hebrew, when you say it plural, it has an im on the end. Get it? Elohim. Yerushalayim,
Miskavim,
your eyes, Regalim, your legs. So everything has the im or the im on it when it means something double. So, but what we see here is that we are in these times or these set times. And God said here that the feast, now you all are pretty much scriptorians. Y'all know about the feast of, they say the feast of Israel. They are not the feast of Israel. They're the feast of the Lord. They're the feast of God. They still mean something. It doesn't mean that we totally celebrate them all in the way the Jewish people did or do, but it does mean that we can get a prophetic glance and see what those feasts mean prophetically and what they mean when we're determining set times, okay? So you can look into them to get types and pictures. There's a type of Christ in every moed, in every feast. You can see in the feast the Passover, the Pentecost, the tabernacles and such. So let me read Revelation 12:10 to you. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our Lord and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. That's actually a set time. He knows his end is coming, so he's trying to pull out every plug right now. What he's been trying to do in the world today is to push time. If he could push time and get God out of sequence, he thinks he can win. But he can't push time out. He can't win. God has moed set, and we've already won. I just read to you. He has been cast down. He will be cast out. But he comes in and tries those last blows, and he uses the world system. He uses mankind to get those last things in. But ha-ha, it is a set time, and that is the Greek word called kairos. And so kairos means it's a set time. Chronos in the Greek means a sequence of time. So the chronos plays out day by day by day, but the kairos means, nope, it's going to happen right now. Or it's going to, I won't say right now, it's going to, it is set time when it's going to happen. Amen.
Right.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And so God has these set times. I can tell you right now, you may disagree with me. I don't care. I won't argue with you, but I believe Jesus is coming back on a set time. Some people believe, you know, God's waiting until we all get our behavior straightened out. Praise the Lord. I don't think that's true. I do think that he knows when things will play out right. He already knew, but he already stuck the set time. He is God. Come on. And so he has things planned in a set time. Now, there's one more word. It's aith. It's A-Y-T-H. It kind of sounds like a Aussie name or something. It's a Hebrew word, and it means due season or a certain time after a long time. So we'll look at that later, but that would mean like, well, after such a long time, here it is. Okay? So that's that word. And I just wanted you to know those words so you understand what we're doing here. Now, we are in a time of the glory. Amen. This is a set time of the glory, and it's being poured out on the earth. There's darkness. There are people involved in a lot of darkness. But the glory of God is on the church of the living God. And so what we want to do in this time, what would be our best assignment in this time, is to be in word and to spend time in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Really in the presence of the Lord. Not where you sit down for 10 minutes and do a daily devotional and close the book and say, I did my job. But where you're actually talking to the Lord. And you're actually listening to Father. Where you're actually waiting upon him and worshiping him and allowing him to have an encounter with you at that moment. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what you do in any relationship. So you should do it with God Almighty. Amen. So God's word and God's presence change us.
Yes.
Now, and I'm talking about being saturated in the presence of God. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Moses went up on the mountain and he got the Ten Commandments. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, he was up there for 40 days. He came down, and what did they do? They had a golden calf. So, you know, they were out of Egypt, but Egypt wasn't out of them. See, easy to see. The reproach of Egypt was still there. So, you know, he lost his sanctification. I can hardly blame him. He was fed up, you know. But then in Exodus 33:18, he said, I beseech thee, Lord, show me your glory. So he just says, you know, Lord, I had spent 40 days in this glorious realm with you, and then I had to come back down here and deal with these church problems. Amen. Glory to God. And so now what am I going to do? And this is what God said. Come up here again. Come on back up here. So he goes back up there, and when he comes back down, he looks like a human light bulb. Because on the second trip, more change happened. Are you getting what I'm trying to tell you? More things happened. More change took place. He got more glory. What does the scripture say? We go from glory to glory to glory. And so every time you're in this presence, and it was heavy with everything good on Sunday morning, wasn't it? Praise the Lord. And we have our prayer times and stuff, and we're in the heavy, weighty presence of God. Your life is changing. Your soul is changing. Your body is changing. Your finances are changing. Your mind is changing. The people around you are changing. This world is changing. The more that you go from glory to glory to glory, the more your life is going to change. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, you know, he comes back looking like a human light bulb. So he had 80 days in the glory. That's 3 months. Glory to glory. Praise the Lord. God is good. There's 120 intimidated people in the upper room. It was intimidating. They thought everybody was after them, you know. They're in the upper room. They're all standing around and they have a clear picture because I've been there. In fact, I was in the upper room on the day of Pentecost in 2011. Yeah. What a great experience. I was there with Mrs. Brim. What a precious experience to be there with her. But so they're all standing around in there. It's a really neat place. Now it's not so upper, but they're there. And what happens? They're transformed into flames of fire and they change their world. Amen. And so I believe in this time, if you'll receive this from me, that the Spirit of God specifically wants to deal with intimidation. So every time the glory, you have an encounter with the glory, you just believe that you receive. Every time you're going to be less intimidated by anything that confronts you or you confront. Amen. You're going to go forward in power and in boldness because you know who you are. Now, we're in a time of joy and refreshing, believe it or not. Are you kidding me? Look at the world. I mean, fuss. No need to do that because we live in the kingdom of God. We're living in the happy place. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what it is. See, there are, three things that happen to you when you get saved. You become the righteousness of God. You don't try to get righteous. You become the righteousness of God. It is who you are. That was a gift to you. You are now in right standing with God. And the other two things that you get are peace and joy. You get peace and joy. That's fruit. They're fruits of the Spirit. You get all the rest of the fruits of the Spirit. But these are the ones that the Holy Ghost wants to point out the most, that you have peace and joy. Now, some folks expect for joy to start on the outside and work to the inside. Well, you know, I just think their marriage would just be so much better and they would just have a much better life if he would just buy her a bigger house. Can I tell you that doesn't work? Well, I just think their life could be so much. Are you saying, yeah, it would be pretty good? No. Here's the truth about though, you would be comfortable in your misery. but it's so fun not to be on TV tonight. Glory to God. So, but the truth is happy isn't joy. Joy is something that comes from the inside. And you can have joy right in the middle of any kind of attack that exists. And you remember what Brother Savelle taught us? If he can't steal your joy, he can't steal your goods. And so you're promised this joy where? In the Holy Ghost. So in the glory. So God starts on the inside. And so we don't allow what's going on the outside to influence our inside. I'm not moved by what's happening right now. Do I like it? No. But I'm not moved because we will see justice.
Yes, you will.
The gallows have been built. And we will see, no matter what you think, no matter saying, I don't know why they don't ever just do something. Well, they aren't the ones. We are the ones. And if we'll keep declaring it and stop complaining about it, we're going to see it and we're going to have it.
Yes.
The ecclesia can't just be the complainers. We have to use our authority. I'm going to listen to this myself. Praise the Lord. So we have to reach down inside and start rejoicing. Then the direction of our life changes. That's what you do. It's real quiet in the church now, but I'm telling the truth. Wigglesworth said this. He said, I never ask Smith Wigglesworth how he is. I take him to the Bible and I show him how he is. This is how I am. I am this. I am not wham wham.
Right. Amen. Preach it, Pastor. That's good.
You're just so tough, Pastor. You're just so tough on all of us. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it in this church. You're just so tough. I'm tough because I love you.
Yes.
Because I'm not coming to your pity party.
Amen.
I'll sit with you when you cry. I'll cry with you, but not for pity. I'll help you get through what you're going because I love you. But I'm not going to sit around and go, oh, you poor little thing. I'm going to say, come on, faith. Come on, believe. Trust God. Do not insult my Father. He'll do it for you.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. So he's working on it. I'm going to be like Wigglesworth. Now, Psalm 51:12 says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners shall be converted unto thee. So we need joy working. The world needs what we have. Do you hear me? The world needs what we have. We in the church have lived far below our rights and privileges. God wants to give you so much more than what you're receiving right now. Come on, church. It is the truth. God wants to give you so much more. If he could just go zip and put something intravenously, he would do it. But God works through the Spirit. So you got to get to the Spirit, work through the Spirit, and then things will happen even in your body, in your soul, in your life, in your light. Praise the Lord. The word salvation is a package deal. Deliverance, divine protection, healing, health, prosperity, wisdom, the life, the nature, and the ability of God belongs to you. You're a son of God. Bo has the nature of Larry. Paisley has the nature of Jordan. Amen. Or maybe Danny. She's a little more prissy than Jordan, I would say. But it's the truth, isn't it? You have the nature of your Father. You do. Your Heavenly Father. So, well, I don't know about your daddy, but you can pass that by and have your Father.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Even our best daddies weren't like this daddy.
Right.
Amen. So, some people are they're just unable to receive blessings. Why would that be? Why is it some people that the whole group can move over and start having all this wonderful stuff happen, and then there's that person who just, well, nothing good ever happens to me. Well, it happens to everyone else. Don't throw anything at me, Deb. She can hardly stand it when I do that. Well, I'll tell you why. It's Isaiah 12:3. Isaiah 12:3 says, therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells, from the wells of salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw. Joy is your bucket. That's when things start happening. When you go ahead and get joyful, when you go ahead and start rejoicing, rejoicing, rejoy, just rejoy. You start rejoicing. Well, what did Joel say? How are they going to have it? What did he say? He said, be glad and rejoice. You're supposed to act like you already won. Because you have. You've already won. But the only way that winning manifests is if you go ahead and act like it. That's how faith works. Corresponding action. No, I've won. No, I'm healed. Somebody said to me today, they said, well, you know, I've had to fight through some sickness and stuff, but I just started doing things that I couldn't do when I felt bad. I started just doing them anyway. That's faith.
Yeah. There you go.
Amen. Now, so, you know, some people have holes in their bucket. We have a well full of blessing, healing, prosperity, deliverance, but we have to have our joy restored. So we have to rejoy. Now, when you go to the gas pump, you can rejoice because you're there, aren't you? Glory to God, I got the money to get the gas. God's not going to let me go without. Amen. Well, what if he doesn't? Really? He will. So Joel 2:21, notice the order. Now notice the order. Fear not. You don't have to be afraid that you're going to go under. You are not going under. If the devil could have killed you, he already would have. If he could have stopped you, he already would have. He can't stop you. You can stop you. But he can't stop you. And neither can mom, dad, dream thieves, auntie across the tracks, people that say you don't have enough education, people that say you're a female, you can't do it, people say you're black, you can't do it, people say you're brown, you can't do it, whatever the case may be. It's all lies for us because we can do it because of the God we have. Amen. So we might as well go ahead and rejoice because we've already won. Speaking of rejoicing, can I ask y'all for a favor? So Pastor Stone will be coming on Sunday. And Pastor Stone, he's my little kid. Casey's coming. But Pastor Casey's coming. Y'all don't get all quiet, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes when we have guest speakers, y'all clam up. Just be as wild as you can possibly be. He'll love it.
Yes. Yeah.
He's a hoot anyway. You're going to get a big kick out of him. He's a hoot. But yeah, let's just go ahead and rejoice. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So we have this full blessing. Now, fear not, rejoice, and the Lord will do remarkable things. I've heard Terry Pearson say so many times, she said, when a situation comes up, even if she has to grit her teeth, she says, well, praise the Lord. Praise God. Now, she's not praising God for the problem, but she's praising God in the problem. She says, no, praise the Lord. I'm not going to give the devil credit for anything. Yeah, Lord, I can say that. I just hear this in the spirit. He's saying some people are so practiced at the negative side. They're so practiced at the negative side that immediately when something goes wrong, they're going to go off the deep end. You're going to have to break that practice. And let me help you with that. The way you're going to break it, the presence of the Lord, the word of the Lord. That's how, spending time with the one who's right. And trusting him more. See, what you're doing when you go off on the other end, you're already saying, I got this. I don't need you, Lord. I got this. Let me go over here and pout for a little while. I don't need you. But the Bible says something different in Peter. The Bible says to submit yourself to God and resist the devil. Humble yourself. You have to humble yourself because we're creatures that have tendency to pride. You know, I mean, think about all the people in the world, Christians that are still praying, Lord, if you'll just carry this load, I think I can carry the rest. Yeah. Doesn't have anything to do with the Bible. No. has nothing to do with the Bible. God said he's the supply and we're the demand. People are like, oh, how can you say that God, that we can demand from God? Well, I've demanded from my daddy ever since I was a little baby and he did everything I wanted. Go ask daddy, go ask daddy. Okay, and I'm going to get it because I believe it. Amen?
Amen.
Mom and dad blessed us. And I had to go, Dad, could I please have a pair of shoes? I don't think so. They're dragging you to the store. Can y'all believe that when I was 4 years old, my mother brought me a pair of shoes with two buckles and a tie and wanted me to hurry out of the house? I have forgiven her for that. She's in there yelling at me, come on, Roxy. She's the only person that gets to call me that. She's in there, come on, come on. And I'm doing those buckles and I'm crying because I'm trying to hurry. And where is she taking me? To get my picture made. And I'm crying and all messed up. That's not part of my sermon. I just want to tell you all about it. Okay. Anyway, so I had a hole in my bucket that day. So restoration's going to come. It's going to come. It's here. We're standing. Chris and Jenna have a new home.
Amen.
We're standing right now.
Amen.
But there's no need for them to do any sweating about that. Because if they jump the gun one day, they could miss the perfect thing that God has for them. I've done that with cars. I gotta get the kid a car, End up getting the wrong car because we're in a hurry to get the kid a car. And then the car picks a kid picks a car out over here that she really wants and we get that one. And so the other one sits there, you know, yeah. So yeah, Ishmael. So you don't want to jump the gun. Amen. Just stay with the Lord. He'll get it. Now, so God's restoring joy to the church and he's restoring all. So now, we have purpose for having a Bless Me Club. You got that? So, you know, this is what preachers used to say. Oh, y'all that are in there and you're just prophesying and praising the Lord and being emotional and all that. Y'all just having a Bless Me Club. Yes. But we have purpose for it because we're being filled and we're rejoicing and restoring. There's purpose for this because God needs to work through us. We need to be able to get out there and do something. Your car won't go very far if you don't put any gas in it. You won't go very far if you don't put any word and spirit in it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're not going to live below what God has for us. Now, let's take this down the line and we'll start closing. 1 Thessalonians 5:1 says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write you. What's he saying? He's saying, you have enough knowledge to understand the season. Mm-hmm. People are like, yeah, we don't know when Jesus is coming back. Well, we may not know the hour, but we do know the season. Amen. You can read the scripture and know that. Well, it says, you know the season. So I want to talk just a minute about the signs of the time. So we get insight when we think of what Jesus in Matthew 13 was saying when he upbraided the Pharisees for not being able to read the signs of the time. Okay, he told them, y'all don't even know what's going on, right? So anytime God is about to do something on earth, he'll produce signs to prepare the people. Now this should be real. This should be 101 for us because most of us that you probably have your favorite prophet, a real one that you listen to, and you will notice that from time to time that they'll speak about something. It's usually in nature. The wind's going to blow. Now they're not trying to prophesy in trouble, but God, is trying to show you through signs that things are happening. Like, remember when Hank Kuhneman said, da 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 will happen when lightning strikes the Washington Monument? And it did. And it struck the monument just a few days later, and then something rolled over and changed. Okay? Now, so the prophets will speak like that, and you start getting signs of the time. A sign will tell you where you need to go. So, God, when he's going to do something, you're going to begin to see it if you'll watch. So all through the scripture, God describes signs that would occur prior to the return of Jesus. Now, is this refreshing a sign of the times? This is what, is this awakening, this refreshing, this revival, I'm going to call a part of it, and I'll explain that to you in a minute. Is this a sign of the times? Listen to Acts 3:19. And now you must repent and turn back to God so that your sins will be removed, so that the times of refreshing will stream from the Lord's presence. And he will send you Jesus, the Messiah, the chosen one for you, for he must remain in heaven until the restoration of all things has taken place, fulfilling everything that God said long ago through the holy prophets. Okay? So what we see is kind of contrary to what people say. Well, it sure looks like the end. It sure looks like the end. It sure, because it's really bad. It looks like, but this says the end begins after the restoration. You know, I'm just going to tell y'all this. I learned this when I was a little bitty Baptist girl. They actually taught us this in the Baptist church. Glory to God. They told us, they said, now before Jesus comes, there'll be stuff, but you know what the word says, but we're telling you too, things will also get good. Somebody read the scripture. Okay, now, so 2 Peter says this, 1,000 years is as a day. One day equals 1,000 years to the Lord. A day is as 1,000 years to the Lord. Hosea 6:2-3 says, after 2 days, he will revive us. And in the third day, he will raise us up. So after 2,000 years, what does it say? He will do what? Destroy us? No, he will revive us. After 2 days, he will revive us. We are in a great awakening. The church is being revived. We are waking up. We had proof of that weeks ago when we met with the Catholic people, with the what they call them, priests and the rabbis, and we all got together down there in San Antonio, the charismatics. We all got together. That was like a revival. I've never been in a meeting. I've been in some meeting where a lot of different denominations were together, but not like this one. Not when the priest got up and opened his mouth and started speaking in tongues. Singing in tongues. I mean, it was different. It was really different. There is a revival happening. Now, I'll talk a little bit more about that because I know people don't use revival much right now. But I'll say something. Let me try to get down the line here. So, one day, 1,000 years. After 2,000 years, he will revive us. So, we should expect a great reviving. Now, we thought in the past that a revival, now those of you who came like from places with me, that's when they had the evangelists come in for a week and we had a revival.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And we all had to go every night. Thank God there was Kool-Aid and cookies. So that made us want to go. The kids, you know, because we didn't want to go, but mom made us go, you know, mom made us go. And then we'd be talking on the back row and she'd be going, shh, good gravy, be quiet. But we did listen and we did learn, but that was a revival. But this revival is reviving something that's already alive.
Yeah.
That's us, not the world. The world's got to get saved. They've got to become alive first. So this is about us being revived. And if you'll pay close attention, you'll even notice in you, you're sparking up more than you have.
Glory.
The church of the living God is starting to go, yeah, I'm getting on board. I'm getting in the will of God.
Yeah.
I'm going to enjoy the presence of God. I'm going to go ahead and let the Lord bless me. I'm going to go ahead and walk in the victories.
Yes. Amen.
That's what's happening. And you have, American patriots and Christians getting together and standing up for what's right in America. That's a type of a revival. Yeah. That's a type of awakening. You have Christians standing up for things that they shouldn't have lost a long time ago. Yeah. But I'm telling you, the word of the Lord said the pendulum will swing.
Yeah.
So we may be way out here, church, but America's going to go way over here. You need to agree with me about that.
Yeah.
Like, well, it's never going to be like that again. You watch. When there's awakening,
yep,
there's a lot of things that close down.
Hallelujah.
You just haven't been in your lifetime in the middle of one. But you can go back and read about them.
Yep.
And I mean, people were changing their lives because God changed their lives. Okay, now, so you can't revive something dead, so you have to give them life for the first time, so it's about us. Now, Jesus was born in 5 BC, we think. So we're over the 2,000 mark. So after 2 days, he will revive us. And on the third day, he will do what? What does he do on the third day? He raises us up. What is back to back? Being revived and being raised up. They're back to back, according to the scripture. Y'all are quiet. Y'all don't believe this? So we don't know when he will raise us up. But we know that when God raised Jesus from the dead, he raised him up on the third day. So, okay, praise the Lord. So we're being revived now, and the harvest is going to be fun. Church, you're going to have to start believing this. You're going to have to start believing that when you go shopping in HEB,
yeah,
that people are going to walk up to you and grab you in your arm and say, man, I need to talk to you. I see you've got something. I need help. Or I've heard about you. You're going to be surprised. You're going to be, learn to detect the anointing on people. See, it's time to get sensitive to the Spirit. You know, well, everybody in there acted like they were getting something. I didn't feel a thing. That's because you're in your flesh. And that was a mama whipping right there. Glory to God. Well, I don't feel anything. Yield. And you'll sense the Holy Ghost if you'll yield. Well, I don't know how to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. I need to try to talk in tongues. You don't need to try to talk in tongues. You need to yield. You can't, like I said Sunday, you can't repeat after me. Honda, Motorola, Toyota, Nissan. That's not going to get it. You're going to have to just yield.
Yeah.
When the little boy, Iris' boyfriend, Cody, excuse me, he's not a little boy, but he is to me. I just said, can you hear something? Yeah. I said, well, say it. He was yielding. Instead of going, I don't know what to say. I can't say it. Can't open my mouth. Why had God just yield?
Yeah.
Why don't you yield to prosperity? Just yield to it. Well, you know, money could ruin me. Well, it could. It's an amplifier. But how about if you don't let it?
Right.
You don't have to be ruined.
No.
You can have it. It doesn't have to have you.
Right.
We don't want to talk about prosperity.
Yes.
Well, you bring earplugs next time. Somebody said to me, they said, well, we can't talk about prosperity over here at our church because everybody's poor. I'm like,
that's right.
I'm like, okay. Hello, poor people. What are we going to talk about? Are y'all sick too? No. But see, now that's absurd to us because we know that we serve a God of plenty. But religious people hate prosperity. But I don't know why it's not going to bother them.
No. No. You're right.
If you've got something, you can help other people.
That's true. That's right.
If you have another little house sitting on your property, somebody can live there while they're looking for their other house.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you for it, Lord.
It's true. You have an extra car. I remember Virginia loaned her car out to somebody every day. They came to church here for her. She loaned her car out to someone every day so they could go to work because she worked at home. She loaned her car out every day. I declare your harvest comes in for that. And that person ended up leaving here and said, that church never did anything for me. Am I right? Now that's blindness.
Yeah.
Okay, y'all, I'm sorry. I'll get finished. This is all important, though. Back to back. So, Psalm 126, 6 says, he that goeth forth and weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. Plowing, planting, and waiting. Blood, sweat, tears. It all feels like that. But we have stepped over from weeping to rejoicing. That's where we are. And so I believe that Jesus' return is right around the corner. When I say right around the corner, I'm not talking about tomorrow because I'm a firm believer in Moeds. I believe in Shemitah years. I believe that there's 7-year cycles, and I believe that if he's going to come back, he'll have to come back this next September or 8 years from now. I just believe that. However, it could be 14 years, and that's still right around the corner. That's still when your grandchildren are just going to start having children. That's just right around the corner. So for us to be, we could be in the awakening for 40 years, or we could be in the awakening for 40 days when we really get into the thick of this. We don't know how fast everything will move. But what we do know is that we need to rejoice. We need to get in our joy. We need to let the Lord tickle us. We need to be laughing. We need to have ha-ha Hankins all around us all the time. Amen. We need to ha-ha. We need to laugh. We need to be happy. We need to rejoice. And we need to know that Jesus is on his way. Signs and wonders are really being focused on right now. And this is the last thing I want to say to you, because I want to lock this up with Sunday. One of the biggest signs for this church right now is Psalm 102:3. You shall arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her. The set time, the Moed has come. We have favor right now. It says this, it says, for your servants take pleasure in her stones and show favor to her dust. So the nation shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord shall build up Victory Church. He shall appear in his glory. So there's a set time of favor, and it's here. In the scripture, the Lord shows us over in Luke 4:18. He had been out in the wilderness. He comes into the synagogue. He steps up to read, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He goes through the brokenhearted, the blind, to set the captives free and all that. But the last thing he says is to declare the acceptable year of the Lord. The acceptable year of the Lord is the Jubilee. The Jubilee is when there were 49 years of one way, and then on that 50th year, your debt is gone. I told the prayers, it's like the country music song played backwards. You get everything back.
Amen.
Get your car back, get your truck back, get your dog back, get your girlfriend back, get your mama back, get everything back, right? Everything back. I'm joking with that, but I'm not joking. This is when debt freedom's going to come to you. This is a set time. You can live from here on out in debt. I'm prophesying to you. Wakey, wakey. This is a time you can step into debt freedom. This is a time you can step into storage. This is a time that your savings account can fill up. You're like, well, how can this be with this economy? Get your eyes off the world. God has a million ways to prosper you. The word of the Lord came that in these next 6 days from Sunday on, that we were going to have extraordinary, supernatural, unusual financial breakthroughs. Where's Miss Kathy? Miss Kathy, you had a breakthrough. Your rent was lowered. All right. Now that's a breakthrough. So, did you have a breakthrough? Who was it? And they pay, they're paying you? They're paying you. What'd you get?
Three jobs approved this week in the last 2 days.
Three jobs approved.
That's awesome.
Who else? Yeah, you had something.
Yeah, my investment account went up from Friday to Monday,
$485. Woo! All right. Praise the Lord. Did you have one? Praise the Lord. A new place to live. Okay, what'd you get?
Got a big bonus at work.
Hey, do you remember when I said we ought to take, you know, I it was just what me and the Lord were doing, but I did, I said I'm going to save $10,000 extra dollars in 2022. Remember that? And so I started it in December of 2021 and I fulfilled it in March. So I was going to do $280 a week and save it. And it overtook me, because that's what happens. When you start a trail, it'll overtake you. So I already saved my $10,000. Well, there was a couple here that said they were going to take the $10,000 challenge, and they did. And they did it as quick as I did.
Glory to God.
Because you're blessed. Now, you know, to some folks, $10,000 isn't that much, but to other folks, it's a good savings to start with. I'm sure they added that to whatever else they had, but that's a little something extra you can do. Who else has already had something happen? Anybody? Yes, both of our investments went up quite a bit. Your house payment went down $1,000 a month. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Oh, praise the Lord. That's awesome.
I got a $90 check in the mail today.
Praise the Lord. Now, look, start with the 20. Start with the 10. Start with, I got a $1,600 in the mail.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. So, I also got a pulpit offering the other day. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So, whatever it is, start rejoicing. Start thanking the Lord, because pretty soon it's going to be that $1,000 that you can give away, that you can help somebody else. You get yourself all done, caught up good, and then you're flowing right in whatever God needs to do. I mean, I want to remind you again that because of that one offering that went way off the charts, that we got people out of the Ukraine before the war ever started. Thank you, Jesus. And now Eagle Mountain has just sent $4 million to get some more out. So they use the exact same people we do, that Shmulek and Sam. Mm-hmm. And so think about that. We saved their lives, possibly.
Yes.
We possibly saved their lives.
And their children and their grandchildren and then.
Yeah. Isn't that wonderful that we could do that? But you couldn't do that if you were broke.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, go ahead and be blessed.
Yes.
Amen. And go ahead and be well.
Yes.
And go ahead and be bold.
Yes.
Just go ahead and be bold. You know, I have, we're 1 minute and we'll close. I have preacher friends that don't stand what I stand for. You know, I'm the Black Robe Regiment here. Mm-hmm. I've got my black preaching robe on, but underneath I have on a uniform.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
Because I love you.
Right. Yeah.
Because I love you, because I'm not going to go, well, we're not going to say anything that could sound political because we don't want to run anyone off. I love you, Margaret. Well, I don't want to run anyone off either, but I also don't want you to be caught up in a lie.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, hey, everyone, there's fake news out there. Let's try to find out the truth. Hey, everyone, find out how to vote Bible. I'm not going to tell you to vote for, but I will tell you, vote Bible. Do you know what the Bible says? Vote Bible.
Yeah.
I have friends that won't do that. They don't like it that I do, and I don't care because I love people, and I'm not going to not say something and stand and pray about the government and pray for what's right and pray for us to get justice. So we're going to have to be bold about that. And I'm not, I don't believe in me putting my political opinions on you, but I do want you to look at the truth. I want you to look at the truth about what is the vaccine? What is the mask? What is the, what's really going on? Who do you really believe? You ask the Holy Ghost. You find out. Now, Randy, are we ever going to get the mask off the airlines? Is that going to happen? Well.
Yes, we are.
That's what I wanted to hear.
Eventually.
Yeah, I understand April 18th, they're saying. Huh? Okay. So I thought maybe they'd given you a hint. I'm just going to say this is the last month and it's over. Because we're in authority. And I know they're fighting tooth and nail to get rid of it. I see that. I believe that's not fake news. But I'm telling you, you have to decide. And I'm not against you if you're blue. I'm not against you if you're vaxxed. I'm not against you whatever you are. But I'm still going to ask you to go find out the truth. Because I love you. And I'm not going to say, whatever, y'all. Whatever. Not whatever, go find out. And if you say, this is what I chose to do, I say, then I'm standing in faith with you. I'll stand in faith with you, whatever you choose. That's how we need to be with each other. We need to tell the truth. And I'm telling you, a whole lot of dominoes are falling. A whole lot of people. My prayer today was this, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every single American today, every American that voted, that they would know the truth and they could see it clearly. Yes. So when I prayed that, a light at least came on until they shut it off.
Yes.
So I'm going to pray it again tomorrow.
Yeah. There you go.
And I'm going to pray it the next day. And they can keep shutting it back out if they want to. But I'm going to keep praying it until they go, you know what? This is not good.
Yeah.
Which we're already 75% on that anyway. I just love you, and I'm not, I can't, how could I sleep at night if I just said, you know, whatever, whatever, we can't do it. I was raised my whole life, Sissy always tried to boss me around, you know, remember Sissy? So I had always had a real good stern, you're not the boss of me going on already. You know, because Sissy tried, she's 5 years older than me, so she was like my mother. You're not the boss of me. You're not the boss of me. You know, all the time. So I kind of grew up with that. And then I kind of went way over on the rebellious side. But now it's helped me to be just bold on the right side.
Yeah.
Not having to hurt people, not doing any evil. But I can just say, uh-uh. Yeah, Pastor John used to say about me and Deb, he'd say, what I love about them is they ain't scared.